Clang! That's the sound of a basketball hitting a rim. Hard. And clang again and again. Way back in the mistiest of times, when I was a graduate student, several of us got together on Sunday mornings with a few faculty members, all of us from the English department, for pickup basketball games. To say that it was a group of disparate talents is an understatement. Some of us had played in high school, one or two had been college athletes in some other sports, some had limited athletic experience. One of my friends, it turned out, had never played the game, and he taught me something I had forgotten. Basketball is hard. For one thing, one team is trying to dribble, pass, and shoot, while another is attempting to keep the first from dribbling, passing, and shooting. In addition, though, each of those offensive skills is technically challenging, shooting in particular. Which is where Marty, the friend in question, comes in. His shooting technique consisted of launching the ball with considerable energy directly at the front rim. This approach, for those of you who don't know, is perfect for producing the loudest possible clang. And it did. So one Sunday, I took him aside for a little quality time with the ball. I explained that in order for the ball to fall through the hoop, it had to, at some point, be above it and permitted a downward flight. He caught the idea of shooting in an arc instead of a line pretty quickly, and with a bit of practice, he began to make some shots. Now, he was never going to be Larry Bird, but neither were the rest of us, and that's fine. Shooting is only one of many necessary skills in basketball, but we can agree it's a fairly important one. Over the years, I found myself thinking of Marty when student writers engaged in self-sabotage, slamming their verbal shots against the front rim. Watching their struggles made me consider how they got that way. Suppose that rather than just celebrating the ability to drop a ball through a rim, Marty had needed to study the calculus involved in describing parabolas, had needed to work out the numbers on a 10-foot shot as against a 17-foot shot, or that he had been submitted to a barrage of rules on all the things he wasn't allowed to do or was required to do before his shot would count. What are the chances he would ever see that first ball swish through the net? That's the situation most beginning writers have found themselves in down the decades. You can't write yet. First, you have to learn the rules. And what a lot of rules there are. No split infinitives, no ending sentences with prepositions, no fragments, no use of I or me. Your introduction must be shaped like this or that. There must be this many paragraphs in the body of your essay. Your conclusion must have X number of sentences in it. Your research paper must be this tall. How much anxiety have we burdened would-be writers with before anything gets written, even before such niceties as ideas are introduced into the conversation? And what effect does this freight have on those who need to write? Paralysis? Insecurity? Inadequacy on an industrial scale? Someone or something, the culture, the educational system, parents, teachers, has so saddled young writers that they cannot communicate effectively with others in their native language. We have tied them in knots. Somewhere between their brains and the page or screen, something dreadful happens. Their fingers get all tongue-tied, and words stammer and stagger out disconnectedly. Or they rush headlong into stream-of-consciousness word salads where angels fear to tread. Or they throw linguistic spaghetti against the wall in hopes that something will stick, the results existing without, in the words of Agatha Christie's Hercule Poirot, order or method. This situation is intolerable. How did we get into this sorry state? There are as many answering voices as there are observers and analysts. Listen, and you will find a lineup of the usual suspects. The death of regular and sustained reading. Too much screen time, bad instruction, social media, that root of all evils, a divorce between most people and the written word, the decline of newspapers and news writing, maybe even poor potty training. I believe, however, that the main culprit is duress. Between the ages of 5 and, say, 22, the only experience the vast majority of people have with writing is by coercion. Mostly that force is imposed by schools, but sometimes it comes from familial pressure. Dear Aunt Mary, thank you for the handkerchiefs. I needed them very much. I am fine. How are you? Love, Mikey. The result of all this compulsion is that most people never write for their own purposes, never find pleasure or joy or creativity through writing, never experience fun via playing with words. Is it any wonder their efforts sound like cries for help?